Fresh air is an intangible force that revives the soul. In our natural state, we can find ourselves living in survival mode. In fact, it's very easy to end up in a stagnant, lifeless state with absolutely no wind in our sails. I believe that every one of us has a longing for more, a longing to experience a breath of fresh air that will blow through every area of our lives. Because when it happens, it literally has the power to change everything.
Welcome to part three of our series, Fresh Air. And actually, this is a unique series. We do things a lot of times in series around here. We have some fill-in-the-blank kind of notes that you can follow along with. In fact, they're in your worship guide. You'll find those notes. We'll be digging into that in just a moment. Got several blanks there for you today. But this series is a little unique. This is the first time I've actually done this, but we're actually doing a series that's based on a book entitled Fresh Air, that was authored by Pastor Chris Hodges of Church of the Highlands, who has really been just almost a pastor for me and for our church. There's a network that they've developed called Grow that they're pouring into churches all across the nation. Their church is in Birmingham, Alabama, but they've affected churches not just in America, but around the world, literally. I've actually been on conference calls with this network and heard people from literally around the world as we all just share together about what God is doing, how to help each other. But this is an encouraging pastor who's written a very encouraging book with this concept, and that is that to breathe fresh air into your life. So we're in part three of that. It's a great day to be a part of that. And let me just, before I do anything else, let me just say welcome to all of you here today, but also along with that, welcome to those that are here online that are with us, and we're thankful for those. Come on, give it up. Yeah. And so a lot of people are connecting outside these walls with our church. And also, let me encourage you today, if you're one of those Facebook people, which that's almost everybody now, be sure and check in to Crosspoint right now if you'd like to. And that just kind of helps spread the word about what God is doing here at and through Crosspoint. But this is an exciting time that we have in this fall season of just kind of catching our breath. I know we seem to want to do that in the summertime, but sometimes summer is pretty hectic. We need a vacation from the vacation. But this is a time where we can really catch some fresh air as we go through this series. Along with this, let me just do a little plug here. I like to do this. I'm actually doing a small group around this study of fresh air that's being extended out. If you're not in a small group, I get the power of the platform and get to promote my group. Anyway, there's 11 other small groups. Honestly, I give a shout out to all the small group leaders doing a phenomenal job. And be sure, again, go online and check out and get those groups and get involved. But I'm just breaking this out, and this is a 13-week series that we are doing by way of small group. But we've reduced it down to 4 weeks in the way of just sharing with you this message of having a breath of fresh air. And it's really based upon this, and that is that oftentimes we find ourselves in this stagnant, kind of stuck place, this lifelessness kind of place. And when we're there, we really don't know how to get out. We talked about how that this place is described as the doldrums. We talked about that in week one. You can go online. All of our messages are at crosspointworshipcenter.com. They're archived there. You can listen to that message again. There's also message notes there that you can download, fill in the blank, follow along as well if you missed that. But we talked about what that means to be stuck in the doldrums. And so week one, we presented the concept that we need to just fall in love with Jesus. And what we're doing is there's several principles that were shared by Pastor Chris Hodges in this book, Fresh Air. And we're just taking four of these fresh air principles, building a four-part series around it. This was the first one, and that is this principle of falling in love with Jesus. It means that we can't just manufacture this thing on the outside, but it's something that's got to take place, a transformation that happens on the internal. And then last week, we talked about the practical application of that in developing a Christ-like attitude, that each of us have a choice. And it's a choice that's not just made one time, but it's actually a choice that we make every day. Well, today, I believe that this message is going to be a message that probably applies to more than 90% of us in the room, and it's really an epidemic in our society today. It's what causes us to have no breath. It's why it's the thing that really is sucking the life out of us. And I'm referring to our hectic pace, our lifestyles, our schedules, how we spend our time. I mean, like, if we're too busy to read the book on stress and how to relieve yourself of stress, you're probably too busy, right? I mean, if you tell your kids, come on, kids, let's eat, let's have dinner, and they all run and jump in the car, you're probably, right? You're probably too busy. I mean, if there's more clothes in your car than are in your closet, you're probably too busy. And so every week, though, we're going to call you to a decision point. And it's based on this scripture that's found in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, where it says this: "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death." There are some choices that we have. We kind of laid the foundation for that again in the first week. But there is a choice there that we have: life and death, blessing and curses. And then the encouragement is this, is, and this is what I would hope for all of us today, and that is that we choose life. That scripture actually goes on to say that you and your children may live. So it's not only going to, your choices not only affect you, but it also affects everyone around you. So I wanted to show us this morning, first of all, as we get started into this, how bad it has gotten that we understand that the average American in their lifetime have this kind of expectation as Americans. And that is that this is what's going to happen. First of all, you're going to eat out 14,411 times. And that's including 1811 times to McDonald's. So, I mean, come on. Eat, drink, and be merry. Live long and prosper. So there you go. And then that you're going to spend 13 years and 4 months watching TV. How many would say, I could probably top that? Okay, all right. Especially if you count this thing, you know. 5 years waiting in line. We're going to spend 5 years waiting in line. That's kind of depressing, isn't it? And I can relate to this. We're going to spend at least one full year looking for misplaced items. Can I get a witness? Nothing drives me more bananas than not being able to find something, you know? And we're also going to attend 35 weddings. How many are into weddings? I talked to somebody this morning, went to one yesterday, right? All right. And we're going to drive 6,027,000 miles in our lifetime. I'm tired. How about you? That's kind of a snapshot of what our lives look like. And I would just say this, that no one, keep that list up there for a minute, that no one, look, no one would, on their deathbed, would say, I wish I could have done one more of these, just one more, if I could have had the opportunity to do one more of these, right? So we find ourselves living one way different than the way that we wish we would have. And so that's our situation. I want to give you a story that's found actually in the Old Testament in the time of exile, and that means that the children of Israel, they were not in Jerusalem, but actually they were taken as prisoners. They were in Babylon, which is right now modern-day Iraq, and they were in slavery. And so out of this time, you'll find the book of Daniel along with several other books. Daniel was actually a Hebrew slave in Babylon. In 70 years of exile, Nehemiah talks about that time period. And there was a king by the name of King Belshazzar, and he had a... He was sitting there all pompous, pious in his reign, and he was taking things that were designated for God, that were holy unto the Lord, the house of God, and he was taking some of those things, and he was drinking out of those vessels and things for a party and having just a good time and praising the God of gold and silver and all of these things. And as he was doing that, something strange really happened. There was a hand that appeared and began to write on the wall. I mean, and guess what? Needless to say, he was a little freaked out. And here's his hand. You thought that idea first came out of that show called The Addams Family. Was that the one? Y'all Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all don't know what. And it was this hand that, it was actually in the Bible, and this hand just comes out of nowhere and begins to write on the wall, and it begins to write this inscription, "Meeny, meeny, tekel, parson." And so he's like, what does this mean? And he began to just, he was having a fit saying, what does this mean? And so he called all the astrologers, the magicians, and said, look, I'll give you gold, I'll give you riches, I'll make you third in the kingdom if you can just interpret what this means. Because the Bible actually records that his knees were knocking together, his knees were having fellowship. And the guy was passing out going, he was shaking in his boots literally. And so nobody could interpret that until someone presented to him that, hey, there is this one called Daniel that has actually been known to interpret dreams filled with wisdom and understanding. And so they called for Daniel to come and interpret the dream. And that's exactly what, or not the dream, it was actually a reality, this thing that happened, this hand that appeared. And so here's what it's interpreted as. In Daniel chapter 5, verse 26 and 27 says that this is what these words mean. God has numbered the days of your reign. God has numbered the days of your reign. Now, notice this. First of all, he's saying here that your days are numbered. Everybody, guess what? Our days, don't mean to depress you, but our days are numbered. We have a certain amount of days. And the Bible says that they are numbered. And then it says, and of your reign, it's numbered, and it's brought to an end. There will be an end to it. And then it goes on to say, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. So, in other words, your life is being weighed. Here's what's being said here. You're out of balance. It's not adding up. It's out of order. And for us today, I'd present this, that sometimes our life is out of balance. And the question would be, if your life was weighed on scales, how would that be? What would that look like, right? Would it be in balance? And I just got to tell you, this is a message that actually... I'm preaching to myself on this one, and we're going to talk about busyness of life. And so I told somebody, I said, why don't you come and hear me preach to myself? You know, y'all just sit there and enjoy. Y'all are along for the ride. But I'm really preaching to myself, and maybe you feel the same way about this subject. But we're working. Some of us are going to school. Some of us are working and going to school. I work a secular job and pastor and have a full plate, and I'm on a community board here and doing all these things. And, got a lot of irons in the fire. You know, and somewhere out there's a family. I know there is. I called my wife one day this week, and I said, hey, this is your husband. And then I said, remember me? I said, did you know you have a husband? She said, no. So I'm just saying, we got to watch yourself. Here's if you're burning the candle on both ends, you're not as bright as you think you are. I'm just telling you, all right? So I want to give us five symptoms that occurs when our life is out of balance. And so there's a lot of symptoms, but I brought it down to five here. Number one, and that is, there is the risk of simple choices increases. Write that down there. So we're tired, and when we're tired, our resistance becomes lowered. We no longer have the discernment to make the right choices, or even sometimes to discern from right or wrong. We're depleted and we're unstable, and we're tired. And that's when the enemy, do you know that's when the enemy likes to strike? Have anybody ever noticed that? When you're tired, right? We had a night Friday evening. My wife was just depleted, and she was like, I don't know what's going on. You know, I'm just, here. What's happening? And I said, Kim, I said, look, your body and your mind has said, I'm through for the day. Go to sleep. Get up. Next morning it'll be better. I called her the next day as I was on my way to work, and she was at work. I said, how are you feeling today? Better. You know, it's a new day. All right. There's times with the enemy. Dusk, I don't know about you, but dusk sometimes the enemy just comes in, right? He strikes us where we're from. He never does that when we're like coming away from church and, man, we're fired up. Man, we could take on the world, you know. No, it's when you're tired and he comes at you. So we need to be aware of that. There's a risk then of sinful choices that happens. I understand that in Colorado, they have just a lot of mountains there, and the landscape there is just amazing. But one of the things that they can't really tolerate there in Colorado, and that's a slow, saturating rain. Just a continual, slow, saturating rain. Because what happens is with this rain, the land becomes saturated. And when it becomes saturated, it becomes destabilized. And that's when all those mudslides begin to happen and dangerous things begin to happen. And oftentimes it's that way with us, when we become so saturated and it just becomes destabilized. Luke chapter 21 says this, be careful or your hearts, okay? It's in your heart. It's where this thing happens. Your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, just become saturated, right? This slow evaporation of life and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. Some of us just full of anxiety, and that day will close in on you unexpectedly like a trap. You're there, you don't know how did I get to this point? It's because we're living such busy lives. So there's the risk of sinful choices increases. And then there's this, and that is that my emotions are inconsistent. My emotions are inconsistent. So there's a chance to be angry more when we're tired. When we're too busy, when we're rushing, when we're overwhelmed with life, there's this, our emotions are inconsistent. We're on edge. When we're running frazzled from event to event, from place to place, it's very easy to have road rage, right? You're trying to get there on time. You're rushing here. You're rushing there. And it's like, laying on your horn, get out of my way, you know. And you're hoping that it's not somebody you know. You know, when you pass by them and your face is all bent out of shape and you're angry because you're, what is that? It's because you're living this hectic, hectic life, right? And can I suggest to myself and to us, leave 30 minutes earlier, right? And you're just driving along and you just, you know, and somebody wants in and you say, go ahead, I'm in a hurry. I mean, is that a lot better than, get out of my way, I'm trying to, I've got a V8, y'all, and I know how to use it. I'm just saying, all right? Wouldn't it be much more life-giving if you just 30 minutes, oh, I'm good, go ahead, smile. Have you ever met anybody like that? Go ahead. Very rare, right? Very rare, especially in Charlotte. Just saying. Job chapter 9, verse 25 says, my days go by faster than a runner. They fly away without my seeing any joy. Here's the concept, and that is a fast-paced life equals less joy. A slower-paced life equals more joy, right? So my emotions are inconsistent. Then here's another one. I am less productive. I am less productive. See, we think by doing more, we will accomplish more. But it's not necessarily true. Oftentimes, we do less with more and more with less. Proverbs chapter 21 says this, careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. Did you know the Bible is full of stuff like this? I mean, we got a lot of scripture today, but I could give you a lot more. I mean, it's full. It's the Bible, right? So we're rushing, we're trying to get further ahead, we actually get further behind. We don't have time to sharpen the axe, we just got to keep going, right? So Proverbs 19 verse 2 says this, a person in a hurry makes mistakes. How about that, right? Simple. So then here's another one, and that is we end up empty on the inside. I end up empty. At the end of the day, we're unsatisfied. We've done all this work and we say, for what? What did it really accomplish? Psalm 39 says this, we are merely moving shadows and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. So listen to this. Burnout, we think oftentimes comes from a lot of activity, but that's not necessarily true. In fact, some activities actually energize us. But burnout comes from activity with no purpose. Activity with no purpose equals burnout. We're just doing and doing, and we don't know why, and it has no purpose, has no rhyme, has no reason to it. What does all this mean? I heard the story Pastor Chris Hodges shared of a guy in his church who was, he knew, happened to be very influential in the community, very prominent person in that area, who was actually serving in their church. And before church, he was setting up water bottles for the guest coming in, and he saw him there, and he was kind of a little bit embarrassed. He thought to himself, oh my goodness, this is a guy, you know, esteemed very highly in the community. He shouldn't be doing this kind of trivial task. And so he kind of went up to him sort of apologetically and said, hey, listen, you know, we can get somebody else to do that. You don't have to do that. And he said, right then and there, the guy rebuked him and said, wait, whoa, Pastor, please, please don't ever do that. Let me do this. And he said, of all the things I do all week long, he said, it means nothing. But when I could come into this place and get with a team of people and do something that makes an eternal difference, this is the thing that matters the most to me. It gives me meaning, gives me purpose. So it isn't the things that just, it isn't just business. It's doing something with a purpose. And so I would say as a church, one of the best things that we can do for you is introducing you into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but also helping take you on this journey of discovering your purpose and finding out what God, how God has designed you and being fulfilled in that, where you're working with a team of people making an eternal difference about with something that matters. You know what I'm saying? That has meaning. That's why actually today we're going to be offering Discovery 301. Happens right after church. We have a meal. Even if this is your first Sunday, you can jump on it today. Today is the best one. I love Discovery 301. And we take you through kind of a personality assessment and a gift assessment and help you discover how God's designed you and help you just be fulfilled. And what God's, you know, the two times in your life are you know, significant. That's when you were born, and that's then secondly is when you find out why you were born, right? And so helping to define what your purpose is. But when we're so busy, we end up empty on side when there's no purpose. Here's another one I want us to see that happens, and that is that you say, I can't hear God. My life's too hectic. I can't hear God. And sometimes people say, I just wish God would speak to me. I wish I could hear what God's saying to me. God is speaking. God is speaking. It's just that we're on the wrong frequency. There's so many voices coming at us that we can't distinguish which one is God, because there's so many things just pressing on our mind, thousands of other voices. But Psalm 46 is a life-giving verse that says this: be still and know that I am God. Just be still. And oftentimes our lives are too busy. In fact, they are too busy if we can't hear God's voice. God is speaking, but if we will still ourselves, And not keep pushing ourselves to the point of meaningless things and suffering burnout, but we'll be still and pull apart and be still. Listen, and know that He is God. So I want to encourage you. Put up this word stress. We're talking about stress and how all this adds stress in our life. Let me just be a little life-giving here. Stress. We got to turn that around, folks. We've got to change this in our life. We've got to change this pattern of being stressed. And let me show you how to turn it around. If you actually turn this word around, it actually spells desserts. So there you go. So I felt the stress leave the room right then. Did y'all feel that? Krispy Kreme, chocolate cream filled Krispy Kreme donut. Sorry, all you Dunkin' Donut lovers, but that's mine right there. All right. So anyway, okay. So what we need to do here, folks, is to catch our breath. The title of this installment is to catch your breath. So let me give you some principles of how to do that. In fact, you could probably list about 15. We're just going to list three here today. But look with me at Mark chapter 6. Then, because so many people were coming, all right, people were coming in on Jesus and his disciples, and they were busy, they were doing ministry, they were doing life, they had all these tasks, they had all these chores, doing all this stuff, and they said there were so many people coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. And he said to them, Jesus said, come with me by yourselves. Somebody need to hear that, by yourself, to a quiet place and get some rest. Now, today, as a pastor, my job is to lead you to a place of rest. Rest is not about inactivity. And I know some of you are thinking, I don't have a choice. I mean, what do I let go? I've got obligations. I got responsibilities. I get that. I feel you there, brother. I know what you're saying, all right? But, and so, and I'm not talking about laziness, okay? Some of you need to get more involved, okay, in the right way, okay? So rest is not about inactivity, but rest is a state of the soul that is just not all upset, okay? It's not out of order. It's in balance, right? Jesus was not weak and anemic and sitting there just restful, you know, floating from place to place. He had it going on. He was cool. He was a man's man, okay? He wasn't some passive little mamby-pamby guy. I mean, this was the real deal, all right? But inside, there was a restfulness, a peacefulness in his soul that moved him, all right? So we can experience that same thing, experience the peace of God in the midst of it all. It's the condition of our soul. So let me reduce this down to three life-giving principles I believe that we can do when we leave here today. I believe that will change your life. Number one, stop the constant push for more. Stop the constant push for more. I mean, really, folks, as a nation, oftentimes even our finances, we need to stop buying into the lie that more is better. You know, I need more, and I need it now. This desire to acquire is killing us. The average American, listen to this, is spending 137% of their income. Why? Because I need it now. I need more, and I need it now. I'm going to do what I have to do to buy what I need or what I want, or spend what I don't have to buy things I don't need to impress people I don't like. I mean, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. So we get overextended. And everybody in the house is working, coming and going, because we got to take everybody's income to make it, right? And we're like ships passing in the night. Guilty. Guilty. All right? I'm not here. I'm just preaching to myself. Y'all enjoy me preaching to myself? There's times where people say, well, did you talk to Kim about such and such? I said, I don't know. We hadn't, you know, we're just, confessions, good for the soul. So I'm challenging myself as well as you, right? As to where we live, what that looks like. Ecclesiastes 4:6 says this, it is better to have only a little, this is great, y'all need to put this on your refrigerator. It is better to have only a little with peace of mind than be busy all the time. You could memorize that one. That's a whole message in itself. I may just preach a message just on that sometime. Actually, it really talks about how it's better to have one handful and another to help your neighbor than to have two handfuls. You know, I got to have more, and you got two handfuls. You can't help anybody, right? Right? I got too much in my own plate to help somebody. But if you have one handful, you got another hand to reach out and help somebody, right? Oh, that's good. That's good. All right. So it's better if we slow it down a little bit and have some peace of mind. I mean, slow it down. How, Pastor? How? I don't know how. I don't know. I don't know. How, Pastor? How? I mean, how? How do we do that? I mean, come apart for a while. Before you fall apart, someone once said. I grew up in a town called Matthews. Anybody heard of Matthews? Just outside of Charlotte? Actually, when I was there, I don't want to say a long time ago. That makes me sound old. But it was a long time ago. All right? There was like one light there, believe it or not. I mean, you had to come all the way up Independence almost to Charlotte before you found a place to eat, really. And I lived down there where, I mean, there was nothing to do except play in the dirt, you know. Dirt is this thing out in the ground outside, for all y'all that don't know that are on this thing, you know. And there's this world called outside. And there's birds outside. It's not angry birds, it's real birds, you know, real birds. There's vegetables out there, not just the kind that, you know, you do on the, you know, grow your vegetable thing. There's real stuff out there, you know, and you play in the dirt. So when I was a kid, you know, you make little roads in the dirt, and in North Carolina it's called mud, especially when it rains, and you just squish it between your toes. It really feels great, you know. And you just kind of, you get your little tractor, and you and you play for hours, you know. You just, you know, hey. And then you're out there playing, and your mom says, hey, dinner's ready. And you go in, and it's a home-cooked meal. It's not, you know, going up to, I'm not going to name a restaurant, but, you know, whatever. It was like, you know, just life was simpler, and it's like, peace. Come on. Somebody looking at me like I'm from a foreign planet. I mean, it's time but I'm in 2016. This is my world. I get that. But I'm just saying. I think sometimes we push. We're rushing to get there, and nobody knows where there is. We climb the ladder of success, and when we get to the top, it's leaning against the wrong wall. I mean, come on. It's like we're doing these things, but where is it? Where does it lead you? Come on. I mean, I remember having this conversation with a colleague of mine back when I was at Florida State. We're not going to talk about Florida State today. Anyway. Okay, anyway, and I remember I was on a trip. We were on a band trip in Atlanta, and we were there for a conference, and we had to room together in this person's house that we didn't know. It's kind of strange. But anyway, and we were talking, and I said, so when you graduate, what you going to do? I'm going to get a job. And then I said, okay, and then you get a job, and then I'm going to get married. I said, okay, then you're going to get married, then what? And then I'm going to, well, then I mean, it just kind of kept going. Then eventually you retire, right? Right? Then what? Then what? Then, I mean, what does it all mean? What does it all mean? And sometimes we're just beating our head against the wall, and we're striving and struggling and stressing, and we're missing what this thing is really all about. And I'm just saying, we've got to get back to what really, really matters, right? So we on Sunday we have a lunch, and we talk to people. We used to do that. We used to have actually home cooked meals on Sundays, and go in there, and we'd invite friends over, and we would talk. With our mouth, you know, not texting, with our mouth. And we would just have conversation, and we would visit. And I'm just saying, we're always saying more and more and more. My kids are in 4 sports, but I believe they can do 5 because they're going to be Olympians. I just know they are. So I'm going to, you know, do everything I can just to, come on, more is not necessarily better, right? Proverbs 14:30 says this, a heart at peace gives life. That's fresh air. To the body, but envy, this desire for more, 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 rots the bones. I think even as a church, can I just be a pastor here for a minute? We need to be careful even as a church that we don't get things out of order. God has an order to things. Our finances need to be in order. Even as a church, our finances need to be in order, right? In fact, I'm just going to present this here in the middle of all this, and that is that even in, now this is for those that call Crosspoint home, but we give to the church and support the church with our tithes, declaring that we put God first. And when we do that, guess what? Everything works. It works. And I don't want to be the church that results to gimmicks, you know, gimmicks to get the finances. If we do things biblically, I'm telling you, it works for you, it works for the church. Most importantly, it's a blessing for you because the Bible even says that God would pour out a blessing. You don't even have room enough to receive. When we put God first, it always works. I don't want to be one that's a church that's even out of order, even in that area. There was one church that resorted to a gimmick, and they said that if you'll give $1,000, you can pick out 3 hymns. And so one, y'all know what hymns are, you know? And one, you know, those things we sing out of the hymnal. And one lady said, gave $1,000, and she said, I'll take him and him and him. Okay. All right. That's, okay, a little breath of fresh air there. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 25 says, it's a trap to say yes, you know, come by, I'm going to fit it in. Come on, I can do this. It's a trap for a man to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider his vows. In other words, I committed to that. Oh, why did I commit to that? Why did I say yes? I should have said no. So everybody write this in your notes somewhere. It's a 2-letter word, no. N-O, no. I remember I had somebody that wanted to have somebody come and preach at our church. This was years ago. And they I felt obligated. I mean, I didn't know how to say no. And I said, sure, yeah, sure. and it was a relative, and this person came and preached, and Lord tore the church up. I'm embarrassed to say. I mean, I came and just, I'm like, Lord, this guy's winging it all the way. He hadn't studied one iota. He doesn't know what he's saying from one sentence to the next. He's figuring it out as he goes. And then he just getting in there and butchered the church. I mean, it was terrible. And I remember saying something to my father about it. I said, oh, Dad, I had a mess to clean up. And he said, son, I want to introduce you to a word. In fact, he called and left it on my voicemail, and I saved it for a long time so I could just rehearse this. He said, I want to give you a word. I want you to practice it, and you pronounce it no. And I want you to say it over and over, no, no. I want you to work on that till you get it down, no, no, no. And for some of us, we need to say, and that's not being ugly to say no. It's that there you cannot do it all and continue to push. And so now from that day forward, I'm telling you as a pastor, I took very seriously who's on this platform. Okay, and the responsibility I have as a church, because we're not going to say yes to everything. I'm going to say as a pastor, no to some things, because I'm going to be true to what I believe God's called us to do. Now, some of you are probably saying, that's great, Pastor. You tell them no. And yet, you're probably the one that gets the no, and you're going to say, well, I was wanting the yes. Tell him no and her no, but I want the yes, you know. But so be prepared. It may be you that gets the no. I'm just saying. But we need to really be focused on really what matters. It's always easier to get in than to get out. Easier to get into debt than it is to get out of debt. Easier to get into a relationship than to get out of a relationship. Easier to get into trouble than it is to get out of trouble. Easier to gain weight. Change the subject. So we don't need more. We need less. We need to slow down. Wouldn't it be great if, when's the last time you asked somebody, what are you doing? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, I know y'all are thinking, this does not work in my life. You need to try it. This is a challenge. I know. My parents, I call them up. I said, what y'all got planned on it? Nothing. I said, can I help with that, please? Of course, they're retired. I'm working. There is a difference. I'm just give us a little bit of credit there, all right? But we're always asking, how you doing? Busy, 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 busy. Right? I know what you're thinking. You've called me and you've asked me that question, and that's been my response. But God help us that we move forward and understand what is most important. Let it be our goal. Let it be our goal. Get this place where we can breathe air, breath of fresh air. Let me give you another principle, and that is keep the Sabbath day holy. And it's a day. Now, we look at this as a command. Okay, that's one of those Ten Commandments. But maybe we shouldn't look at it as a command, as if this is something God commands and this is for him. Can I tell you that this is for you? In fact, every command that God wrote, none of them was for him. They were all for you. They're all for your benefit. They're all for you. The Sabbath day is to be a day. It's a whole day, and it's a holy day. Look at Exodus chapter 20. It says this, you have 6 days in which to do your work, but the seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to me. So it doesn't necessarily have to be Sunday, but you need to have a day of rest, right? I suggest that you work five for someone else, right? Work a day for you and then have a day of rest, right? A day where you get things you don't need done around your house and then a day of rest. Now, for me, Sunday is not a day of rest, okay? It's a work day, just being honest. I mean, I wish I had Monday. I took Monday off tomorrow. I'm going to have Monday off. Monday would be a great day for me, you know, to have a Sabbath on Monday. But Sunday, Lionel Richie was never a pastor. It's not easy like Sunday morning, okay, for the pastor. I'm saying it's just, okay? But you need to have a day of rest. The word Sabbath means cease, stop. Stop the email, stop the phone calls. Come on, stop feeding your vegetables on Facebook, whatever that is for you, right? I mean, if this is your Sabbath, you come to church and you worship, you go home, you eat a family meal, you actually talk afterwards, you take your wife by the hand, you say, let's take a walk, you ask her name. She tells you Kim, and you say, oh, yeah, I remember that from the wedding. That's right. Come on, you get to know each other. You need to have a time of reflection. You need to have a dashboard of maybe 10 things that you check yourself on. How's my social life? How am I doing on social media? Am I healthy there? How's my schedule? How's my calendar? How am I doing as a husband or a wife? How am I doing as a parent? Come on, how am I doing? And then just write a one-sentence response to that and say what I can do better, right, today or this week to improve on that, right? Some time of reflection. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27 says this, reverence for God adds hours to each day. So when we take time, it actually makes the other more productive. It's a principle in everything, and by the way. In our giving, when we put God first, he blesses the rest. Our time, when we give God his time, put him first, he has the ability to bless the rest. So God rests, but he didn't need to rest, but God rests to model this principle of the Sabbath for us. And then he goes on to say that this will mark the people of God. He said, because of this, my presence will go with them. So in the middle of the chaos, when people look at the people of God, come on, there's no wrinkles, there's no ulcers, there's peace. Some of y'all like that, no wrinkles, I heard that. Okay, but I mean, you're in this place where you're experiencing peace. And when people look at you, they'll recognize Jesus, and he's able to make himself known through you. Look at the third thing, and that is get close to Jesus. Get close to Jesus. So, and for Jesus, look, he isn't just your Lord or your Savior or a brand of religion. He's a person. And the Bible calls him the chief shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd, but he's the chief shepherd. Psalm 23 says this, the Lord is my shepherd. And when the Lord is your shepherd, he says, I shall not be in want. I'm not going to have any needs of anything. I've got everything I need in him. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He's going to have us relax. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. We used to sing a song, come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. You know, come be alone with Jesus where you look up and there's real birds, you know. And I mean, you're just relaxing in his presence and let him talk to you. Have a time for prayer. Maybe that's just worship. That's allowing the Lord just to give you rest, to quiet your soul. It's an art that we need to learn how to still our soul. I just thought of it. I meant to bring you a picture a couple Sundays ago on Labor Day of me in the park under a tree. And we were about to go to the next thing. We're always going to the next thing. We get here. Okay, what are we going to do next? Okay, we're here. Okay, what's next? And we get here. Oh, wait, what's? And I remember there was something said, well, where are we going next? And I looked over and I saw this big shade tree and I saw this shade on the grass. And I said, And I just lay down in the grass and said, I'm here. I'm already here. And I think there's a time we just got to pause and we've got to relax and understand what really matters in life. Jesus said it this way, one of the most beautiful scriptures in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 11. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And I would probably guess that probably describes a lot of us here. And he says, I will give you rest, a breath of fresh air. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. A yoke was that thing you put on oxen to plow a field. And his yoke, he says, look, it's different because he's there with us and he's carrying the load. And he says, for I am gentle and humble in heart, okay? And you will find rest for your souls, for your heart. And for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to give you a third fresh air principle today. This is the fresh air principle I want to give you for today. But I want to give you the scriptures found in Isaiah chapter 63 that says, they were given rest by the Spirit. That word, and we'll talk about it more next week, is ruach, which means fresh air. So I'm going to give you rest by giving this fresh air of the Lord. And this is how you, and then it goes on to say, this is how you guided your people to make for yourself a glorious name. So he wishes to give everyone his presence, and so that when he gives us his presence and he's with us, that it causes other people to see him through us. He wants his name to be great by people looking at you and thinking, look at how their life is. And we can say, that's my God, he's awesome, and he'll lead you to rest, and he'll lead you to fresh air. He said, so to make himself, his name glorious, to make him a name of how that there is much rest in your life. So here's this principle. Principle number three. Write this down. Slow down. You're ready for something profound, right? Slow down. That's profound. Slow down. As for when you leave the parking lot today, don't be peeling gravel. Come on. Slow down. I'd like you just to write that down. I'd like you just to bow your heads, close your eyes. And I just want us to practice this principle even now. You know, if you're online, just stop chatting for just a moment. I just want us to be still. Father, I pray for everyone listening right now to grasp the reality of this message. We all have different challenges, different schedules, deadlines, demands, responsibilities. But I pray today that you would lead us to still waters. Lord, I pray that you'd lead us to green pastures. I pray that you would tune our ears to hear your voice. As we're still today, I just would invite you to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me in this? There's a reason why God has you here. He's wanting to speak truth, fresh air in your life. What is he saying to you right now? For some of you, you might be that you need to make a choice. Maybe that you have been trying to run your own life and you're finding out that you're not good at it. And you're at this point where you need to come to a place of surrender, of giving God control of your life. And really, that's what salvation is. It's not joining a church or signing a card. It's prioritizing your life to reflect that God is first. He's the center of it all. It's surrendering and saying, God, I give you my life. I give you control of my life. And when we do that, he's able then to breathe life into us, give our life meaning and fulfill us like nothing ever will. In all your attempts, no one can satisfy you like Jesus can. He is our satisfying portion. In fact, if you're here today and you need to make that kind of choice, and we've been saying this, putting before you life and death, blessing, cursing, choices. We have choices. But you're here today and you say, I'm ready to make that choice. I'm ready to make him Lord of my life. I'd like to have the opportunity to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand or come to the front, but I want to lead you in a prayer of surrender. But if that's you, say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you just count me in that prayer when you pray? Would you just lift up a hand and you can put it right back down? If that's you today, say, today's the day I need to make a choice. Would you count me in that prayer? God bless you today. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Let me lead you in this prayer. And for those of you even listening online, just pause right where you are. Let me just lead you in this prayer. Just let me help you with the words. It's your prayer, but just pray it with faith. Just pray this. Just say, thank you, Jesus, for life. Thank you for the gift of life. Lord, today I come and I surrender my life to you. I declare you the Lord of my life. God, forgive me for filling my life with things that really don't matter and leaving you out. God, I invite you to come. Come inside of me. I turn from my sins. I turn from my past and my ways to follow you. I open my heart to you and I invite you in. Come, make me brand new on the inside. Come on, say these words. I give you my life. God, thank you for every person that just prayed that prayer in a minute, God. And Lord, I just pray, Father, right now, that Lord, that you would just breathe new life into them, God, a breath of fresh air, God. I pray, Father, that you would just pour into them right now. That you would give them the power to live this thing out. I thank you that they just made the best choice they could ever make. Lord, I pray today as a church, we learn this principle. Just surrendering our life to you. Making you the Lord of all. Slowing down. Acknowledging you. It's not up to us. We can't do enough. We can't earn enough. We can't push enough. God, it's not by our own power, but by your Spirit that what matters is accomplished. So I thank you for accomplishing great things in this house today and hearts. And Father, I thank you that you're with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's just thank God for lives changed in this house. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you.